Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Don't raise trade just yet. Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adrianosaurus.
A few technical difficulties. We love it. My camera decided to stop working with about 1 minute to go from pre-recording. You are listening to the Dual Position Podcast. I am your host, the SC Whisperer, coach of the Ramsey Rehabs, joined, as always, by SC Adrianosaurus, my friend. How are we?
Yeah, I'm good. I've had a couple of weeks of green arrows, so couldn't be too unhappy with that. You know, I'm not like you. I'm not addicted to boosting, but I had to boost last week with Tohu late out. Because I've just got Utikamano and Tohu in the front row. So I did have to burn a boost last week, which sort of spewed me a little bit. But I went to Haas and he scored a 95, so I can't be too upset about that. And the season's come along nicely.
Yeah, a few green arrows for myself. For anyone watching the stream, I was supposed to have our up-to-date ranks on the screen. We'll have that next week. A few of you guys have requested that. You mentioned that you went away from the plans originally last week. I also did the same. Instead of bringing in Joe Tarpany, we brought in Max King. Just wanted the extra cash for some moves this week. And yeah, I've now fallen in love with the bloke. Fingers crossed that he is okay. Has gone up massively in my book because he actually reached out to me on Instagram, which was really cool to do. And we also, instead of the original plan of VC Turbo C Nico, just had that you have that gut feeling and you just gotta go with it sometimes, and it just said to me straight C Cleary. We did that and it worked out well. Didn't work out as well as I wanted it to, because Turbo went huge, Nico went huge with updates, so the captaincy boost didn't really gain much, but still green arrows for myself, and we'll discuss rank in due course. But yeah, it's a good week for the Dual Position Podcast for both of us. Let's move into the big rugby league news from the last 7 days. Plenty to dissect. The aforementioned Max King, he is out in doubt, as is Jake Preston. Now, Preston, the original fears, Ado, were similar to Cam Munster. I think the commentator saw the bleeding from the finger and suspected maybe a compound fracture or a compound dislocation, but it turns out just to be the webbing. Look, he's in some doubt with that. I've had a similar issue when I played cricket. Miscaught a catch and it split the webbing. It's very, very painful, but manageable if you just tape, for anyone watching, like if you just tape your fingers together, it eventually heals over. Whether that's delayed with the, grind of playing footy, who knows? I think he's more in doubt than Max King, who, reached out to me on Monday and told me that he didn't actually have anything wrong. It was just a lot of swelling. So probably comes down to...
It'll be a pain in the ass for people if he's out. It is an early game, obviously, with Preston, but I think people probably be relying on him for a play. Most likely, the way he's been going.
Yeah, I've set up to play Preston, but I would urge everyone to probably have an 18th man they're going to be relying on to move. Thankfully, it is an early game, but the short turnaround doesn't help them at all. Yep. Okay. Franklin Pele is out for 6 to 8 weeks. The Bulldogs were just absolutely crucified with injuries. I'm not a Pele owner, but a lot of people were sort of upset. I wouldn't be too fussed if you're a Pele owner. It's just one less AA you have to worry about. There's not really anyone to move on to. I mean, there's baby Tino, Isaac Fa'asua Malawi, but apart from him, you can probably go Smith from the Panthers if you wanted another downgrade option, but I wouldn't be too stressed if you're a Pele owner. With suspensions this week, Dale Finucane out for 3 weeks, Marata Neokore out for 2 weeks, and Jaden Ockenbaugh out for one. Ryan Pappenhausen has returned to the training field, which is really, really good to see, as has Kalen Ponga. Now, I would suspect Ponga would be back within the next month. Pap, if we saw him inside 8 weeks, I'd be very, very surprised. But it's just good that he's back running. And He even said himself, Ado, that his biggest anxiety is getting his running gait back. So, you know, big process or big progress to see him, you know, back on the park.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we hear Gus is back at training. I saw some vision of him as well in the training paddock. So it's all just great stuff for our game because I personally like to watch all of those guys play. And we do hope they come back and just keep going at the same level that they've got at before. I know that's a worry with Paps and even Ponga as well. And are they going to try to keep him at the six? There's a lot of questions in there. But the Knights are coping pretty well without him. And I don't think they'll rush him back, but I look forward to seeing all of them.
No, it's going to be very interesting to see. Look, I think Pong was locked into the six, but because Miller's just cemented himself as, you know, the primary fullback. But you're right, the game is much, much better with these guys, you know, in the game. Angus, Pappenhausen, Ponga, say what you want, but the game is just better off for them. A couple more injury news. Burbo and Christian Tupolotu, they're out for 6 and 3 weeks respectively. So Burbo's out for a month and a half, Tupolotu's out for 3 weeks. Sean Lane, he's back now. That's got to boost the stocks for Dylan Brown, surely.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was forced last week at another move, which luckily I was having to move Tohu on anyway, and I'd activated the boost. But Schuster was my number 158. I was planning Dillbags this week, but I had to pull the trigger last week because I didn't want to rely on Katoa. So I've got Dillbags from last week. It was a 50-pointer last week. He's got a huge break even this week, but He's my captain.
Probably could, know, he probably could hit that break even this week.
Yeah, he might get it. So I reckon it's going to be good news for him having Lane back.
Yep. And so Jason Saab's also back. Toby Sexton and Jaden Campbell are both in for the Titans. I'll skip over the next point because I'll let you have a rant. Adam Dewey's back at 5'8", and Jared Croker returns to the milk.
Yeah, I mean, look, is it really an upgrade? I mean, look, Harley Smith Shields, it wasn't really working out, was he, in first grade? And I don't know if Jared's a big upgrade, but I really think our season's pretty much done. So let's get him to 300, eh? And, you know, that's just, well, what are you going to do? And Dewey, I mean, I see him on the most sold list. Do you change your mind on that? Because he does score better, I reckon, at 5'8". He seems to get his hands on the ball a lot more. Would you hold him?
What is everyone doing with Adam? I think if you've come this far, you've got to hold him. I mean, we'll talk about the 10 things that we've learned from the Supercoach week that just gone. And my number one is Hooker and 5'8". They're a fucking wasteland. So, I mean, I would hold Dewey if I've got him this long. But we could discuss that, you know, in due course. James Fisher-Harris out for 4 to 6 weeks. Hillam Lukey, Jordan McLean, and the MILF all done hamstrings, all unconfirmed. Matt Frawley, very Supercoach relevant player he is, has broken his hand and out for 6 weeks. Teddy, RFM, AJ, all out with the HIAs. But the biggest thing, Mr. Soros, Jermaine Hopgood.
Yeah.
Hop gone.
Well, he's gone back to the bench, hasn't he? So he was already sort of getting to max out point of view, you know, for everyone. We changed our point of view, I should say, that he's a season-long keeper because I always thought when Lane and Maddo came back in, this kind of thing would happen. He's probably still going to get decent enough minutes off the bench, you think, maybe 50 minutes. But I've had a bit of a look at him. The good scores and the minor scores that he's had this year and the minutes that it looks like he's going to get off the bench, I reckon he's probably, you could go now or you could go in a week or two. I reckon we're getting towards the end of that.
Yeah, if I'm holding, I'm not panicking. Like, I'm not looking at him and thinking, oh, shit, like, it's done. I still think he gets 55-ish, 60 minutes off the bench. But, yeah, I'm surprised to see that he was dropped. I did expect Maddo to be the one that made way and just played the role that he played last year. But in saying that, Maddo's looked really, really good. And if I had a spare 200K, I would not be opposed to Hopgood to Maddo. But, you know, I'm sure we'll discuss that as the episode goes on. Let's discuss the 10 things that we learned from the Supercoach week gone by. As I said, Hooker and 5'8 Ado are an absolute wasteland. Harry Grant is clear at the top. Dylan Brown's clear at... Dylan Brown and Munster are clear, and then it drops off a cliff there. At Hooker, we've got Reid Marnie, Reece Robson, Wade Egan, who... I'm going to start scoring his tries as base stats because it just fucking happened every single week.
I know. He's turned into, like, an absolute weapon try scorer. So is... old mate from the front rower from the Dragons.
Oh, yes, Blake Laurie. Great stat that he is the joint most try-scoring player at the Dragons this year.
Crazy. Yes, it is a wasteland. I mean, I got to Harry early doors And who cares what you have in the second spot? And I think you know, you look at a Munster as your finish the year type of guy, but I think with their draw upcoming, that's why I moved on Dilbags. It's been a bit mild by his standards, but they have been up against hard teams that have had a lot of troops down, and his main man is back. I'm expecting that he could be the go for people if they're looking, you know, for an upgrade or for somebody to plug in there that's going to be, you know, have a ceiling on them at least.
At least the positives with 5'8" are you've got Isaiah Katoa, you've got Josh Schuster there. Hooker, there's no one really to downgrade to either. There's a question later in the episode today about that. But Hooker's got no one either. I mean, you got Brendan Hands or Sonny Luke, and both those boys don't excite me.
I just went to Sonny Luke because I was like, look, if he just comes in and averages 40, he'll just start his money making away. And, you know, it's not like I'm ever going to, I'm not playing him. I'm not playing my second hooker because there's too many other better spots. You know, even Carl Pereira looks like a decent enough play this week. So, yeah, I mean, as long as you got the Harry Grant, I think who cares
about the second spot? Look, I know that Sean Johnson, he looks really good, the feel-good story, but Nico and Cleary, just must-haves.
Yeah, I think so. Just because of the ceiling. I mean, look, Sean Johnson's average is 76. It's like premium old SJ. So, I mean, look, people are probably, I think they're moving off their plans of Cleary and Hines, and I don't know if I agree with doing that. If you were somebody that had like a Sam Walker or a shit piece in there and you're miles and miles off getting to a Cleary or Hines, I reckon SJ, the way that he's going with his BE, he could be a little bit of a stepladder to one of those two. You know, but I just think you try to get to those other two as quick as you can.
I just think SJ is playing career best footy, like some of the best footy we've ever seen play. And he still, I'd say, only scored 100-odd. Cleary's still just, he's getting into it, and he scored 124. Hines went missing for 40 minutes and still scored 104. And it, like, this is what I mean. Like, SJ, yeah, he's been fantastic. And if you have him in your side, you roll with him. But he's not a guy that I'm looking to buy. If you've missed the SJ train, then all things considered, target Cleary and Hines. Pretty obvious stuff there. But I just think with the footy that those two are playing, I don't think we've seen their best. I mean, obviously, we saw Hines' best 2 weeks ago. But Cleary, to an extent, I think he was on 40 points at halftime and finished on 124. The Panthers just whacked 50 against the Raiders, and they're going to get better. And you're just going to think Cleary's going to be in that.
Yeah, I think he's warming up, and the Raiders probably put him into form. You know, he looked, you know, busy in the second half, which is where he usually does his best stuff. And look, right from that field goal onwards, I reckon he looked like you feel some of the swag coming back. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't. You know, the first couple of games, I think we had a 50 and stuff in there. Now, I think it was a 70 and then this 120. I reckon he's going to hover between those sort of figures moving forward.
Cleary is back. Hey, Ado, is Preston what we thought Hopgood was going to be? Is he the season-long cheapy keeper?
Well, he's not going to be moved from that second row, from that edge. They really like him there. You know, the people that are going to come back in are going to be props and stuff.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of TPJ negativity, but TPJ is going to come back and play through the middle.
Yeah, I think so. So I reckon he's, and look, and the same with Hopgood. Potentially it could have been that Hopgood was a season-long hold if the role stayed great. It just looks like Preston is going to be, he's made more money now. You know, he doesn't look like he's going to drop from that position playing the big minutes in there. So let's just ride him as long as we can.
Mystic Mazu, is he a must-have or is he a trap in disguise? Now, you and I feel like we're the only two blokes in the content space that are against Mazu. I'm not against him, so to speak. I just hate the fucking draw, and I can't put faith in the Knights.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing I'm worried about him is we do know Heimel Hunt is there. You saw Coach drop Dom Young, and then he's obviously scored the 4 tries. There is another winger there for whoever sucks or does something wrong. And Marju, in the game, I was saying to the Guns on my podcast, you know, he looks like he could win you the game and lose you the game for the equal amount in each game. And sometimes it falls one way or the other. Like, he looks like he could lose it for you with the mistakes that he makes. So the biggest fear I have for him is that he's going to get dropped. That's the first and biggest fear. That could happen after this week. But also, yeah, if you have a look at that draw, I don't know if we're going to see. We've seen two tons. I know everyone's going to bring him in this week and think it's going to be a ton. Well, that's not necessarily the case. So if he goes and runs out and scores a 70 this week, he makes 100K.
Oh, I understand it from a break-even point. I've always been of the opinion that do I see Mars as a season-long keeper? Personally, I don't. And do I want to be spending 600K on a quick flip? Not really. Like, I just don't. And, yeah, I mean, you pay 600K for him. I can just see this is going to happen with my team. I buy him. Yeah, he makes 100K. And then he starts to go, shit, but I've got other fires to put out that I can't, you know, he scores a couple of 30s and a couple of 40s. And all of a sudden, the money that you made is just gone. Because I've had other issues to put out, and I'm going to have no boost left in about fucking 2 weeks.
Look, he's going to be 700K real soon. You'll probably get him straight across to Garrick if you don't own him, or a Karaz. So, you know, I reckon that the percentages say that there's a better chance that it'll work out. That's what I reckon. Just because he started with two tons, the first price rise is going to be wonderful. So after this week, he's a tick under 700K, and that's just great money, you know?
Absolutely. I'm going to rattle off a couple of stats with Tom Dravojevic because his involvement is getting absurd. 2019, 33.5 touches. 2020, 28.5 touches. 2021, which was PVL ball, 35 touches. 2022, 32 touches. This year, through 5 weeks, he's had 43 touches, which is, 10 touches per game more. Sorry, 8 touches per game more than his PVL best. His runs are a career high. His hit-ups are a career high. And his passes, just in general, are a career high. This is all outdoing PVL ball 2021 Turbo. So I think it's really, really scary moving forward for Turbo. I think he's going to erupt. Not quite 143 average, but in saying that, I think he does look a little bit slow. And when he gets back to his best, fucking hell, we're going to be $1 million again?
Well, he looks to me like every time he steps on, even slower as he is, he looks like he's going to get it done every game, no matter the opposition. So if he can work on, I mean, because that's the difference, I reckon, to PVL sort of average is that he looks a couple of yards slower. So he's going to have to work on that pace because he doesn't even look like, even if he gets through a gap, he doesn't look like he wants to run. So that's going to cost some points.
I think round 9, round 10, before he sort of hits his strides to origin, that's where we're going to see peak Turbo come back. And yeah, those touches, if they can stay at 43 touches a game, that's 8 touches a game more than 2021. So it's going to get better and better. Also, those stats are courtesy of RL Writers on Instagram. I think Jason Oliver is the main writer there. Go follow him on Twitter. Really, really good in-depth stuff. He gave us the stats on Cam Murray and Gerbo that we discussed last week. Number eight. Don't complain about unicorn points. Just embrace them. Don't fight them. Like, we know that Cleary and Hines and Turbo get bullshit updates. Why fight them?
Well, that's it. You just get those players in. And, you know, there's going to be points. I mean, look, Alamotti got bloody wrist-sold hard. He got 4 points for that sublime pass. And you win some and you lose some. The score is, there's definitely prejudice in the scoring. And we're silly if we say that that's not the case. They are likely to give these kind views on, you know, try assists, line break assists. And they'll find points.
Do you think it has anything to do with advertising? At the end of the year, Turbo got 25 try assists when, you know, maybe 5 of those were so-so. 25 sounds a whole lot better than 20.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows, eh? The thing is, Nico Hines, for instance, last week, he was quieter in the second half, but 9 points quiet? You know, I was just glad he was my captain, so I took it. And if you play Supercoach for long enough, you know that the game giveth occasionally and it taketh much, much more. So when you get something good, you just take it and don't sweat it if other people are getting it. I'm sure you would have loved an 85 captain score for me versus your 120.
Oh, mate, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's frustrating because I was on the other end of it with Reece Walsh and the Herbie Farnworth, you know, the other week. It comes in roundabouts, like it happens, but, you know, we've played Supercoach now long enough to know that, you know, scoring is not the most consistent thing in the world, and we know that there's trends of players that do go up and down, so yeah, just roll with it. Number 9, are premium 2RFs washed?
Well,
I wouldn't say washed, but I mean, like, is their value, you know, at its highest?
you know, Maddow looks pretty good to me in just the short space of time we've seen him in, and he's always been at the pointy end of it. Murray has sort of been up and down. I had a look once. Everyone was saying never sell a gun because he got an 88 last week.
Oh, he's in mate, 13th. Fucking hindsight heroes.
Jesus he's in 13th Christ. Overall in averages, and that is not Cam Murray. He's top three. Mm. So you're right in a sense because there's just been some great. If you've got Preston and Ford, who are like within 10 points of them, and they're just going up at a rate of knots in cost, they're going to get so close to a we had to flip them to Maddow or Angus or Murray.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're bad players, but I just think when you got guys like Hosking, I mean, Preston, are doing the same, I mean, Ford, except for last week, of course, the week that I buy him, like, when they're doing the same thing for much, much cheaper, is the value of, yeah, you know, your premium 2RF just not as high as it once was, and I just don't think it is.
I think people who might have started this year with three premium second rowers are probably finding this season a bit of a struggle. You know, I've got one in there now, you know, and I'm running these other guys that we said. I did have Murray at one point, but I did a big downgrade to buy elsewhere because they were doing the same score and I was able to bank nearly 500K. So I just think that at the moment, that's how it looks. You know, it doesn't say that that's going to be the case for the rest of the year. And I'm holding on to Vafita. I'm sure you are too, because he seems like someone who can go that big ceiling 100, and he'll still get 40s and 50s like the Cam Murray as well. It just seems like he goes those 90s to 100s a little bit more frequently, so because of the type of player he is. But while you can get away with Prestons and Fords and you look at Cardi, he's still picked in the second row. You know, you just ride these moments. They come so rarely in Supercoach where there's so many 200K second row type blokes that are just playing 80 or 60 or 65 minutes and have a terrific role in a team, you know, right from round one. So it's a rarity and we should just enjoy it while we can.
Yeah, I would argue fullback is the same as well. I mean, you've got Teddy out. Trell hasn't really hit the ground running. Turbo's a set and forget. But you've got guys like Will Kennedy that are really performing. You've got Reece Walsh, who no one expected to be there at the start of the year. I mean, people had him as sort of maybe the fifth or sixth best fullback, but not the best. You got guys like Lockie Miller as well. So, yeah, fullback even now is not what it once was. It might turn around eventually when Trell hits form and maybe Pappenhausen's back and whatnot. But, yeah, it just seems like 2RF is not the place to be. And the last point I wanted to make, because we are in very, very different ends of the spectrum in this one, I think it'd be a good debating point. Boosts, overrated, underrated. I am very much in the overrated camp. You can tell by my trading strategy. I don't rate them. I think people... They say, oh, yeah, but what about the buyers? I mean, we get more trades to the buyers anyway, so use them hard, use them early, fix your team up, but you're much more conservative in your trading. You like to have them up your sleeve for when shit inevitably hits the fan, because it always does. You can never be too well prepared in Supercoach.
Yeah, well, see, I've burnt three of them, so I'm sort of I'm a little column A.
Hang on. You've burnt the same as me.
Yeah, but I'm not burning one this week.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, I had to last week because Tohu was in
the
front row, so I had no choice.
And you would have used one. You would have used one round three to get all the cash cows as well.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't planning on using one last week. I was going to hold three for the three major buys because I just felt like it would come in handy. I'm not going to use one this week. I'm going to save a trade also, which I think if you're doing that, that's still as good as a boost if you're saving some when you can. You've max traded as well, like so that's
the thing. apart from round one. So I saved two because I don't trade in round two.
Yeah, same.
And then I've gone boost, and then I boost, and then maybe.
So I mean, look, I half agree with you. Like, get your team right, because holding onto these boosts while you've got a shit team and you're falling down the ladder, you're just like, well, I don't give a shit if I've got to struggle through the buys. Everyone else is trying to work out little strategies of what they can do in the buys as well. And I'd rather hedge my bets against them having one or two extra players there rather than missing all the cheapies, the top scoring guys now, because I'm unwilling to use a boost.
I also think this year is very different, because no longer do we need to scramble to get 16, 17, 18 players for the buys.
Yeah.
It's just your 13. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Yep. So, I mean, if you're using those boosts, you're bringing in players who are playing the round 13 and whatever, you know, then you're making correct type moves. I want to keep a couple there because, I mean, look, last week I had an emergency and I wasn't – last week was one of my emergency three that I'd kept, and I had to use it because Tohu was an out. And I'm I'm not going to play Ben Murdoch, Masilla, or Moale.
Hey, Ben Murdoch, Masilla.
50 points.
He's come 51. Good. He's come good.
He did come good. He played 80 minutes last week. So, look, that was a forced one for me, and I'm going to keep the other two because I know that that's going to happen again. Something's going to happen like that again.
How fucking sad is it that the fact that Ben Murdoch, Masilla, 50 has me half okay with the fact that if Max King is like not playing, I can just put Ben.
Yeah, well, he hasn't been terrific, but I mean, look, he gets a 30-40, but that's like, that's what Uticamano gets as well, you know? So it's ugly, but he's getting the job done. He made a little bit of money last week as well. He's got a low break even this week.
He nearly had a try assist as well, I think.
He hasn't been as bad as Moale.
Mm. Yeah, so it's fine. I think Ben Menopensilla is on the up, must have.
That.
Captain material. Hey, let's talk about the host. Let's talk about the host recap because in the Podmasters Cup, it was the dual position podcast derby, and fuck, man, it couldn't have been tighter. I think after Saturday, we were dead even, and we had three uniques, and then after full time, I think it was 5 points in it. Yep. So you and I went down to the wire. You captained Nico, and his 25-point upgrades got you just in front of me. However, yeah. I still finished with a respectable 1339, so back-to-back 1300s, which is nice. That brings me to a total of 5,601 total points, which is about 100 points outside the top 1K, and overall rank 2,932nd. Yeah, a big, big difference from the 38,000th that was 3 weeks ago. Yourself, mate, you also had a really, really big score with a 1350+, which ended up with 1360.
Yeah, 1360 for me, thanks to the Nico upgrades, which is good. My, I don't know what you said your total points are. Mine are 5,756, so you must be more than that.
You are 5 points behind me, my friend. So we are pretty much locked and loaded. Yeah, we are very much together.
Yeah, I'm at 3,092 now for season, which is good. I've had a couple of good weeks. I've got the squad set up well enough that I don't need to boost this week. I'm just doing one sort of financial strategic move. And I'm happy with the team. I had the lucky fortune of starting with like Ford and Preston. I started with both of those guys, which is a real advantage. I'm obviously Hopgood as well. You know, and I seem to land the cheapies, you know, okay. I went the same as everyone else, and they've all pretty much worked out. So I'm in a good place with the team. I'm happy.
You say all the cheapies have worked out. Isaiah Katoa dud or not?
Well, you know, this period of time while they've got Soss and Milford out, it's going to be him and Nicarima. This is going to be the make or break.
Yeah, it's now or never, really.
As far as, yeah, of Supercoach, because the team is his. They're going to rely on him, especially if it's Nicarima in there. So have a look at him over the next couple of weeks. We'll know for sure whether he's going to work out or not. Look, you cull him, you get your – I've got Schuster up in second row. I'll move him down and I'll see what I can do if it doesn't work out. But, I mean, look, it was a 40 last week. I got Dylan Brown for 50.
Oh, that's I put a tweet up about that. Like, it's funny how people look at Supercoach. Dylan Brown's got a 50, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Like, it's a bad day for Dylan Brown. It's okay. And Dylan Brown costs...
That's his floor. That's great.
750K, and Katoa scored 40, and it was, oh, fuck, this guy's so trash. Why would you play him? Useless. It's 10 points difference for about 500K.
I know. 10 points for 500K. That's what we're saying about Murray versus... You know, everyone's like, you never sell a gun. Murray got 88. Well, if you went Murray to Preston, you know, you made heaps on that transactions in points and in dollars. So, you know, it all just, you got to look at it all reflective. To me, whatever anyone scores, I always do it as a reflection of what they cost. So people are like, oh, Alamotti's maxing out. You know, he's got a 40 break even and he scores 40s, you know, so he's probably going to max out soon, unless he scores a try or two, but that's a possibility because we saw that with Warbrick and Khan Pereira, and I've liked he's got a nice base of just he's a safe play.
I think Alamotti is one that I'll just hold for probably longer than people would expect because if he's just hitting 40s every week, he looks like he's getting better and better, like just from an NRL standpoint. So yep. if he's just
last week, I think he could have been a 70.
If he is just hitting his break even every week and he's a rookie. Like, you expect him just to get better as the season goes on. I think we saw this with Isaac Tungo as well. Like, he started well, similar to Alamotti, and then sort of peaked out a little bit and then, you know, really hit his straps in the midseason. So I'm probably going to hold Alamotti longer than the average person. But, yeah, quickly recap. I mean, rank, there's 130 spots between us. Not much. But in terms of overall points, there's literally 5 points between us. You and I are very similar. I'm at 5,761 points. You're at 5,756. So 5 points difference. You and I are pretty much dead even.
Look at that.
Let's move into your take, not mine. I decided to pull my finger out today and actually get some hot takes. Let's unpack them. Reno says Fifita is the best captain option this week. And I'm not going to fully agree, but fuck, I could easily say he's two.
Well, he's got to be up there. It's a nice matchup. What I don't like is no AJ Brimson or Foran in the side.
Yeah, Toby Sexton and Tanner Boyd doesn't really spark creativity. It sparks very much Auger Tazen. Jaden Campbell.
Campbell doesn't love a pass either. So that's the only thing that puts me off that as the captain. But he's probably looking like one of their best attacking options out there now, where there's no AJ in that. But the outs of key playmakers is what bothers me.
Yeah, absolutely. Ian Johnson says Greg Marsley with 110 plus. I mean, I've handpicked Ian. There was about fucking five of these that said Marju 100 plus, and there was about five that said Marju under 40. So it's I think this screams of Reece Walsh back in round three. You know, when everyone, and some bought him, some didn't, we were death riding him, some were flying high. Yeah, mate, if Marju flops, you're going to look like a genius because you went a week early on Walsh and it's paid off dividends and you're going to fade Marju. So if you can get both of those, mate, you're going to be flying. What do you think about the Marju 110? Are you in that camp or are you in the under 40 camp?
Well, I'm probably more like the under 40. I think that they've been a much more stoic defensive outfit, the Warriors, sitting second on the ladder. Let's go on, Warriors. So I just reckon, if he does back-to-back-to-backs, he's got a super coach-friendly game. So I really don't ever see him getting under 50 too often. Greg, the Gregosaurus. So I'm probably leaning towards maybe he doesn't get a try this week and it could be a 50, maybe 60. I don't know. I'm not tipping him to go back-to-back-to-back hundreds.
The problem is...
60 is going to get him another... He's going to get 100.
That's what I was going to say. The problem is if he gets 50, it's still a fucking... It's still a massive prize for us.
Yeah, you'll be nearly 700K next week if he scores a 60. If he scores 100, he'll be more expensive than Garrick, probably. He'll get close to Garrick's price.
I'm so filthy he was injured round one. Fucking. But then again, if he was injured round one, I wouldn't have got Lockie Miller, who's now like 780K. So it's a win-win. It's a lose-lose situation. Friend of the show, Aman from Aman Talks. I don't know if this one's a bit biased or not, Aman, but it's Dylan Brown and Sean Lane to combine for 200 points. I would be very, very happy if Sean Lane is ruled out and this hot take still comes true. If Dylan Brown can just get 200 on his own, very, very happy with that.
Yeah, look, I'm all for it because I've got dill bags. Look, Lane, if he can come in and be on fire right from the first game, that'd be terrific, wouldn't it? Look, it's a matchup.
I've seen some people go early on Sean Lane now with this news, and fuck, it's ballsy, but with the Eagles draw, I don't hate it.
It is a cowboy move. I reckon you and I are both targeting Lane. I'm not going to do it straight away, I don't think, for first week.
If you had to have one, Lane or Matto?
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Lane.
Ooh, I'm in the mad. I can't. Yeah. I just can't get past those biceps, mate.
Yeah, well, look, now the Hopgood's back to the bench and Lane is in. I just wonder about whether there's a minute share between Hopgood and Matto. Well,
yeah, let's talk that. What do you think? Because in my head, in my bald head of Brad Arthur, Cardi's probably the one that has the minute reduction. And I think Cardi probably plays less minutes, Matto goes to the edge, and then Hopgood comes on. I've seen a few people float the idea with Bolo out that Matto might move into like middle in terms of like prop rotation. I think it's much of a muchness. I don't really think it matters whether he plays 13 or prop. But
if Matto gets 70 minutes, I'll take Matto every day.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I'm glad that Lane's back now because there were some reports that was going to be like round seven. And you and I spoke about this maybe last week that Matto isn't the kind of guy that's going to get out of hand. Like he's not going to be 800K. If he bags a try, different story. But I think he's a guy that I'm very, very keen to watch on minutes.
Yeah, I want to see his minutes. You know that when Lane comes in, he's going to play really good minutes.
Probably 80,
And we know what he did last year. I owned him for a good part of last year. So if he is anything, if he's a 80, 90% of what he was last year, once he's got his match fitness back, it'll be hard to go against Lane. But Matto looks like, with IPAP and that going on, Matto had an extra long sort of preseason, didn't he? Because of his bloody suspension. He looks terrific.
Yeah, he does. He always looks terrific. Always very pretty on the eye, not only in footy, but just pretty on the eye in general. Buy, hold, and sell. Number one, buy targets. You and I, very, very unsure on this one. I think we're both leaning into Zach Hosking camp, but we're not thrilled about it, are we?
No, it's kind of like the Marju thing. He looks like he's a good chance of making 100K. We would have liked to see Martin or Garner.
Just
or
name.
Both.
Name somewhere. Yeah. Just give me something, Ivan.
Because this could just be plugging a hole and it blows up in our face.
Do you think with the Panthers' performance the last 2 weeks, I mean, it was against the Raiders, all things to be fair, but they put on 50 points.
Up the milk.
They put on 50 points last week, and Hosking just looked really, really good. That's the thing. Like, it's fucking weird. It's weird. It's so weird.
If you add the eye test to, the money that he stands to make, 100K, I reckon it's worth a punt.
Yeah.
You're also, if you sell Hopgood, for instance, you know, maybe it's premature on Hopgood, but if you sell Hopgood down to Hosking, it's 100K.
It's like a 400K increase. But when you're taking the Hopgood's bottom dollar price to what he is now, going Martin, no, it's more than that. It's going to be like 600K. So if you started with Hopgood, sold him this week, for Hosking, you're making 100K there, plus the 300K that you've made on Hopgood, plus the 100K that you're going to make on, what's his face, Hosking. That's like a 600K investment.
Yeah, it's a big invest. So financially, it looks great. I think that it passed the eye test. That offload to Cleary was the moment I was like, I don't reckon he's going to lose that spot.
No.
I've argued with a few people on the socials. They're saying, you know, it's going to be Martin and Garner, but I just reckon it'll probably be Martin and Hosking. And I wouldn't even be surprised if... Because Martin doesn't really play 80 minutes, so maybe...
Martin's very good in the middle too, and with James Fisher-Harris out for 4 to 6 weeks, like, fuck, Martin could just go back and play middle.
Well, he could.
Which is huge for us.
Look, I just reckon it's a risk-reward. You know, there's red flags for both Marju and for Hosking, but the finances don't look like they're a huge risk. It looks like they're still going to make really good money if they just roll out and do their stuff, normal stuff this week. So I think they're worth a gamble. If you want to have a gamble, it's one of the safer gambles, I think.
Yeah. You basically tied into the next person on the list, Greg Marzu. The next on the list is Nathan Cleary. I think we've discussed him. You're not going to get high insight expert opinions when it comes to Nathan Cleary. We've said that he's hitting his straps and, you know, he's just looking better and better. We also added Matto in very late as well, Ado. We were tempted to see what happened with him. I think we both really like him as a buy. Looks really good. Minutes probably depending. If you can wait one more week, I would do so. But the man that I wanted to highlight as a buy, and you've got some pretty good numbers on him, is Charles Nickel-Cookstar, which is a name that I wouldn't expect to see in this list.
Yeah, I pumped him in because he was a popular cheapie to start the year. A lot of people jumped off when he got that HIA and got like a 18 or something like that. We've pulled the data, obviously, minus that HIA, which has only got minimal minutes and the lowest score. He's averaging 64 for the year. So he's still got the negative break even. I think it's -5. The Warriors are up and about. We always said that back in his best stuff, he had a really good sort of base because he's a worker. And I think that's being proven 64 average, and he's actually quite affordable, I reckon.
He's still 377 with a -5 break even. I had him pegged in the preseason at around a 55 average, so he's probably running a little bit hotter than what I expected. But in this early stage of the season, I still think, you know, 64 average probably does come down to 55. But, you know, for 370K and minus break even, fuck, you could do a whole lot worse. Especially if you needed to find cash for Hopgood to Matto or Hopgood to Murray, if you were going to take your licks and go back there. I mean, Val Holmes down to a chance and then Hopgood up to someone is definitely feasible. Or if you needed to find the money to go Sam Walker to Cleary or something like that, you've got a really good downgrade option there in Charles Nickel-Cookstar.
Yep.
Lovely. In the hold camp, we do have Jermaine Hopgood, which probably a little bit misleading considering we are both selling him. But it's not a panic sell at all.
He's not screaming sell yet because he's still got an achievable break even. Look, the news probably makes him more of a sell than a hold, you know. But still, if you're playing the BE game, he's not a sell.
In saying that though, like fuck, Parramatta could put 40 on the Tigers. Brad Arthur just gives Sean Lane a spell, more minutes for Hopgood. Payne, I'm not saying Jermaine Hopgood is Payne Haas, but Payne Haas had four offloads in that game against the Tigers. So there goes my camera. We will fix that one up in a second. I don't know what happened there. Talk to me on Paul Alamotti, because I'm assuming you put him in as a hold here because it could have been, you know, much, much more.
Yeah, I think that he's probably, he's looked to me, like you said, he's looking better every week, in my opinion. And I think he's one of those ones, like if you play Warbrick and you play Khan Pereira, there's a chance that you get a 10, you know, or a low score. Alamotti's safely going out and getting 40. Much in the camp of Hopgood, if they go out and do their normal wares, it's a 40-something break even. So it's achievable for him this week. He's been scoring that every week. If he just, you know, sometimes it's an unlucky thing. Like everyone's like having to sell Teddy, unfortunately, because a bit of luck didn't go his way. A pass wasn't thrown or it didn't stick. So he got 50, 50, 60. Last week is a 70. The finances look good for Alamotti and none of us are selling him this week. So I just reckon as somebody that you have on your bench that you call on that you might have to bring in on matchup or because someone's on a bye, I think you could do a hell of a lot worse than a bloke that can score 40s.
I think
as a normal score.
I think I'm actually playing in this week just with half of the fucking Parramatta squad being out and, Nico Hines being out. I think I'm actually going to play Alamotti this week. So, yeah, I mean, hold. As with Pat Carrigan as well, horrible game from him, but mate, I've never seen Pat Carrigan play 53 minutes in my life. I don't think I'll ever see Pat Carrigan play 53 minutes again. They just put the Tigers to the sword, and I mean, even Payne Haas had lower minutes. If you take out his try, Payne Haas is down to like 60, which is like a 5 for Payne Haas in all things consideration. So minutes were low. They put the sword through the Tigers. This is going to happen when you pick forwards from a very, very dominant team. Sometimes it's just, you know, par for the course.
Yeah, well, that's right. They are in gravy time. They're on top of the ladder. They're not getting hammered with injuries. And he got a bit of a rest. I've been looking at his scores. He's averaging 60.8 for the year. And you look at that anomaly, minutes game, he's more like a 60. He's at a 69, 60. He's probably nearly 10 minutes short,
Which is like 11 points for Pat Carrigan.
Yeah, so it's 74, 63, 65, 53, 49.
If you're selling Pat Carrigan, fuck, you must have a very, very red hot side and you got no issues to worry about.
Yeah, well, that's right. I just reckon, what's he cost? 616 now? What do you make? 150 if you go to Hosking now?
Yeah. I mean, I do get it.
Carrigan's a strong play this week against the Raiders.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think the shoe could be on the other foot this week.
A week up the middle. So, yeah, I just don't know if I'd do it. I'd hold him.
Absolutely. I would not hold. James Tedesco, however, has the HIA. Shout out to Brandon Savage. Unfortunately, brought him in. Was looking really good. I think he had like 20 points after 10 minutes. So it was definitely on for a massive score. Copped the HIA. Just a sell. Not much more to say there. You've got Hemmer here as a sell. Is that just a culling the cash cow type sell?
Yeah, I think so. Look, he's in the same sort of category as Alamotti, because they've got that around the same sort of BE. My reasons why I've got him in there and Alamotti as a hold is Hemmer has more value. He's 100K more, so it allows you to do more in your team.
Hemmer's way more volatile. I don't think Alamotti's going to go for an 11-point game.
Yeah, and the other thing, I think that the Dolphins are they're on the decline. I know they had a hot start. They've lost,
I think losing Sauce is huge.
Yeah, I reckon so. So I just reckon he's got a similar sort of break even. I think you can pick Alamotti or him wherever you want. But me personally, I would want to use the value because he's 100K more.
I also think he could lose his value much, much quicker. As I said, he's much more volatile. Adam Dewey, you've got here as a sell. I would disagree. I just think if you've come this far with Dewey, hold. But, I mean, if you're going to go to a Munster or a Brown, then Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I will. I mean, that was. Did the teams hadn't dropped yet?
Yeah, true.
And I didn't. I don't watch 360 or any of that stuff where they talk.
What
about
do you mean, mate? It's fucking amazing insight. Buzz Ruffield not knowing what his AEO's name is. You know, quality yeah, journalism.
Champion. So look, I reckon that now that he is back at 5'8", that's where he does his better stuff. I reckon he's. He obviously we saw him at fullback. You're not scoring as well. I reckon he scores better at 5'8". And like you said, it's mud. And unless you just have a look at him now while he's back at 5'8", I reckon, because I reckon if he's in 5'8", he's sort of in the ballpark of Munster and
sell, but Brown. Sell to only to Munster or Brown. There's no one else really I'm taking a punt on.
Yep.
Captain's challenge. Didn't really matter who you put the armband on last week. Cleary edged out everyone, but it wasn't by much. So yeah, I mean, this week I think it's very, very different. You've got Cleary and Turbo in tough matchups. They play each other, I'm pretty sure. You've got Trell. I think Trell's got a really, really nice matchup and is VC-able. I never like captaining the first game of the round, but Trell is definitely VC-able. However, my number two option this week is David Fifita against the Dragons. What do we think about backing Big Fifi after the bye? I think there was a stat. Teams after the bye this year are undefeated as well.
Yeah, I don't hate it. Like I said, I'm worried about the Brimson and four and out, personally. I like a VC on Walsh against the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't fucking hate that. I love watching him so much as a footy player. Hate it so much as a super coach.
Let me throw a couple other ones. Oh, look, I don't mind Cleary against the Manly Seagulls because it is at Penrith. I reckon they play much better there. What about Karaz against the Dolphins?
Definitely
show that he's got a ceiling for a number of tries.
Could be on the cards. My captain. I think we have the same captain this week, Ado. Dylan Brown.
Dillbags. I'm going to captain Dillbags.
So am I think, which I hate because I do really want a VC. I really want a VC Karaz, but that means I can't VC Cleary, and that just fucking petrifies me.
Yeah, well, I think if you're going to go a Captain Brown, you've got to sort of pick between those, you know, a number of ceiling players. Obviously, Dave Fifita's got a ceiling, Cleary's got a ceiling, and we've seen a ceiling from Karaz. He's got one of the top scorers of the year, and he's averaging, you know, 70s, I think, for as well. So, look, you got to pick. I reckon if you're ballsy and cowboy-ish, you're probably and enough to go Dillbags, I reckon, is ballsy enough. Maybe Cleary's your safe captain.
I still might weasel out. But yeah, we'll see. I just think with Lane back, it's absolutely huge. Let's go into trade talk and we'll do yours first because yours are much, much quicker than mine.
Yeah, nice and simple. It is Hopgood to Hosking. I just reckon he's maxed out, near maxed out Hopgood, and he's been a terrific cheapie. On the bench, in a perfect world, I would have done it in the next couple of weeks. Because I don't know, everyone's saying, you know, he covers the buys and everything, and I reckon there's a good chance that he'll be juiced out before then. So I'm just going to move early, make the 100K on that trade to Hosking, and then make the 100K price rise next week. It's one trade, meaning I don't have to boost or use a second trade. So I get to save a trade this week and make 200K just off the one trade. So we always say put a price on a trade. Well, it's one trade for 200 immediate cash, 200K for me. So that's the move I'm going to do. It's probably too early on Hopgood, but you got to go Hosking this week.
It's too early on Hopgood, but you can't be too late on Hosking. I think that's the dilemma.
Yeah. You got to go this week because it's 100K, and next week the price rise will be less, most likely. So he's not going to get to 100K next week unless he goes out and brains it again this week. So, yeah, you got to go this week. If you're going to do it, so I'm going to do it.
Yep. Very similar opinion. And would it be a dual position podcast if I didn't boost?
After next week, it won't be.
I got one more in there. I got one more in the tank. We could still fire next week. Yeah, look, I think for myself, I will be boosting again. I had 204K in the bank thanks to opting to go Max King over Joe Tarpany, and that's going to allow me to trade out all three of my Parramatta back rowers. I had three of them. Don't think I'm going to have any after this week. The original plan was...
when their drawer opens.
Yeah, and fantastic. The plan was to go Hopgood to Brown next week. However, I mean, I can't pass up the matchup. If I like him as... the number one captain option, I'd be stupid not to get him in. So we are going to go Hopgood out, Dory out, Cartwright out for Dillbags. Dillbags is going to come in. That's going to come in via Schuster. Hosking will also come in. And I'm not sold on my last trade. Maybe we can do a little bit of discussion. It's down between Jack Johns and Isaac Fa'asua Malawi. I was saying to you before, Jack Johns' base is actually pretty good. I mean, when he's played two games, played 43 minutes and 45 minutes. Base of 41 and 37. And yeah, he looked fine. He's 230K. The problem is Adam Elliott. When does he come back? Jacob Saifidi also comes back in. So that does worry me. Kurtman floating around on the bench. But I still think there's 40 minutes there for him. I don't really need the front row coverage, but I can bring in Isaac Fa'asua Malawi, who I'm not as sold on as others. I think he played big inflated minutes the week before last, because they had a plethora of injuries during the game. I think that was when Kieran Foran went down. Aaron Clark had to play big minutes in that, you know, when the halves were shifted around. Jaden Campbell played big minutes, so the bench was thin. I'm not sure. I'm going to go one of them, but I just don't know who, and I would love to get your thoughts. Or even Lindsay Smith from Penrith.
Well, look, I think Jack Johns has been good because he's been getting 40 minutes. So what he's been doing is over that 40 minutes. And I reckon even if Kurt Mann goes back and starts at lock, surely Jack Johns is coming on and getting 40 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not buying him as a reserve. Like, we're just buying him to free up some cash. If I have to play him in a week where I've got three guys in the bye, you don't hate it.
Yeah, and the only thing that might be a problem is, and is it even really a problem if he drops out of the team altogether?
No, mate, if I can, I think he's scheduled to make 45K this week. So if I can get another 3 weeks out of him and he drops out, fuck, you know, I'll take that. I'd lean
towards him. I don't mind little Fa'asua Malawi. I reckon he looks like if he plays 40 minutes, he'll score 40 points. But I have a bigger worry there that he'll get 40 minutes just being a rookie.
I would hate for Holbrook to be like, yeah, cool, we'll blood you in, but you're bloody in playing 15, 20 minutes a game. That's the fucking worst case scenario. You'd rather him just not play at all. You'd rather pick enough. So I do think I'm going to lean towards Jack Johns, and he is in my team at the moment. So just to round out, Ado is going to go Hopgood to Hosking. I'm going to go Hopgood, Dorian Cartwright to Dillbags, Hosking, and Jack Johns most likely. Stay tuned for my lockout teams on Thursday, but yeah, probably going to be Jack Johns. Let's move into the podcast questions. Couple of nice ones. The first one comes from Paratragic over on Discord. He asks, surely we're overreacting to trading at Hopgood given Parramatta's upcoming draw. And this is what leads me to say probably yes. I mean, I'm only trading him out because I want Dillbags. And if I can, I've always been of the opinion, Ado, that if I can get keepers in, I will do it. Are we overreacting to Hopgood?
Well, you know, I don't reckon we look. It's if you mean selling early, yes, we probably are because he's got an achievable BE. He's, you know, well, he's only behind the person that I'm trading him to in Hosking on average. All I'll say for Hopgood is that when he started the season, it was 84 minutes and 71 minutes. That's when he tunned up in the first two games. In the round since, he had a 54-minute game for 45. He had a 68-minute for 77. And he had a 62-minute game for 47. So those last three games, I cannot see his minutes being back up to 70 or 80, obviously with Lane and Maddo back in. I think it's more like 60 at a maximum. It could be less sometimes. So we're looking at his 60-minute work. 54, 68, and 62 minutes. You know, the scores are much more mild, aren't they? 45, 77, 47.
And I just think, I know he's not back this week, but Parramatta look absolutely fucking dreadful without RCG and Bolo on the pitch. So when Bolo is back, I think Lane plays 80. I think Maddo plays 65 plus. I think, you know, Bolo and Regan Campbell-Gillard play 45, 50 minutes. I just don't know. I don't know if it leaves that 65 minutes that we want from Hopgood on the bench. Like, I'm very, very happy to be proven wrong because I am holding him in fantasy, and I am taking that pretty seriously this year. So, like, I do want to be proven wrong. But, yeah, it's just, like, it's just hard. I mean, what do you do?
He needs the big minutes.
Like, what do you do if you hold him, he scores 57 points, and you have some more issues to fix next week? He scores 54 points the week after that. He then scores a 51. and like his value just slowly drops. Like, I'm not saying you're going to lose anything on him, but you might not make the peak. And I just worry he's going to be one of those guys where he puts up fine score. I worry he's going to be Christian Welch.
Yeah.
Fine. But I can't trade you.
Yeah. Well, the reason why he was great at the start was because there was holes in the team and he got to play uber big minutes. So we're looking at a mirage because those minutes aren't there now that these guys have come back in.
And watch those big minute games. He looks gassed. Like he puts everything in, but he looks gassed. And I think Arthur's maybe seeing that. But happy to be proven wrong. I'm just going to cut ties with him while I can. The next question comes from AO Steez, regular contributor with the podcast questions. Which hooker do we downgrade Marnie Egan to? This is the problem. Like, there's no one.
You either go all the way
to Grant, down to
Sonny Luke, which is a bit of an unknown, or you go. I mean, Cheese has been improving.
Is he? I feel like he played really well last week and scored 50.
Well, yeah,
Marnie was putrid and scored 55.
Well, yeah. You either don't sell or you go all the way down.
I don't think you sell Marnie or Egan. Like, I don't like Egan as a pick because I think he's very reliant on attack, which annoyingly seems to just keep happening. Marnie hasn't been great, but there's no one. Robson has been worse than both of those guys, and he was.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if you've got those guys in there, they're serviceable backups. So, you know, find your money elsewhere if you need to downgrade, I reckon.
Until Tom Starling plays 80 minutes, I just don't see anyone. I don't really see you picking up anyone. Like, unless Sonny Luke starts to get 60 minutes a game or Josh Hodgson's other knee blows out and Hands gets some big minutes, I don't see it. And this is the problem with hooker. Like, I bought Marnie after round two because it looked like he was back to, you know, 2020, 2021 Reed Marnie. And it hasn't been that since I've bought him. But, like, there's no one else, really.
I'll tip you off this. Sonny Luke will outscore Marnie this week.
Ah, probably. but that's the thing. Like, if Marnie's putting up 55, 60 points, it's Christian Welch. I'm just going to start referring to every plotter as the Christian Welch issue, the conundrum of Christian Welch. Because, like, if you look at your score on a Monday and you see 55 points, you're going to be like, okay, all right, cool. It's funny. Like, if someone scores 57 points, you think, But if someone scores 62 points, you're like, ah. Oh. It's like five points difference, but it's the six in front of the five. That's what makes it.
Well, that's it. If you get above 60, you're always in a pretty good mood. You know, I mean, I'm running a Tim Kamano. He's getting 40s in the front row, and these other ones that people are playing are getting 50. I'm just like,
exactly. It's fine.
Well, I mean, I want to move him soon, but, you know, it's been acceptable enough compared to some of the others. If you haven't got a Haas or, you know, Tappany or a, you know, Gilbert as your own. I mean, people who have got a Haas and a Gilbert, they're probably in really good shape compared to a lot of others.
If I decide to come back next preseason, which is very much questionable, not too sure if I will, just if ever I say I'm not going to start with Haas, just fucking hit me. Like, next year, I'm just doing it. I just don't care. Hey, let's finish up with our tips for the round because last week was a fucking shocker for me. I got 3 from 8, and that included the draw being counted as a win. So we had a shocker. You got 5. You got 5, so you got 4 with the draw. And that takes the season tally up to 80 on 22 tips correct and me on 19, so you're 3 ahead of me. Let's run with round 1, Melbourne versus the Roosters. This one's in Amy Park.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Melbourne Storm. Look, I reckon the Roosters have been in better form, but I reckon Hughes back in to reunite with Munster and Harry Grant. I just reckon that's some big ins.
The Roosters do have the best non-fullback at fullback in the game this week with Manu there. And I don't know if any of you guys play fantasy sports, draft stars or whatever. Manu is, you know, pretty much a slam dunk pick in those week-to-week games. With Hughes back, I would slide towards Melbourne as well. The Doggies up against the Bunnies. I know the Dogs were flying high last week, but I'm probably going to take the Bunnies in this one.
Yeah, I want to take the Bunnies too. Tevita Totola is back this week.
Huge in. Absolutely monster in.
Pumps up their pack a lot. I reckon they'll get over the top of them, particularly with the amount of troops that they've sort of lost or are in doubt. I'm going to tip.
I'll ask you this, yes or no. Do we see Jake Preston run out?
I reckon he is. Yeah, I reckon he's going to run out.
Do we see Mad-Eye Max run out?
Yeah.
Fuck, I hope so.
I reckon Gould's just playing funny buggers. I reckon they're going to play.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. Also, in my entire time of being a quote-unquote supercoach expert, I never thought I'd be researching, I think it's called ocular teres, which is like scarring of the eye. And I was just looking at like recovery times, and most of Google said 3 days. So me and Max King are now best friends. So I will, I'll definitely reach out to him and make sure we're good.
I'll ask you if Preston's playing as well.
Sure thing. The Cowboys up against the Finns. I mean, the Cowboys have been rubbish, but I think the Finns are on the decline. I think the feel-good factor's worn off. I do think losing Sauce is huge. I'm going to take the Cowboys with a bounce back, and I think it might be pretty convincing.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys. Cotter's back in this week, and your best favourite player, Drinkwater.
Oh, mate. Look, in all honesty, fuck, I could deal with a Drinkwater 5'8" duel right about now.
Yeah, it'd be handy because it's a bit stiff in the old 5'8". Look, I'm going to tip the Cows as well.
Absolutely. It's got Drinkwater with a masterclass to bounce back. The Penny Panthers up against the Manly Sea Eagles. This one's in Penrith. I really like the Manly. I think they are contenders this year. I just think off the back of a 50-point performance, though, it's going to be very hard to tip against Penrith.
Yeah, I'm going to tip Penrith. They're just such a different – well, they're a strong team everywhere, really. But I think they grow an absolute leg at home.
Over 60 points for Trbojevic.
Tommy Turbo.
Yes. That's what a try assist, maybe like two line break assists.
Well, I'll put him in my bold calls. I reckon he's going to go above 70.
Ooh.
But not above 90.
Okay. The Broncos up against the Milk.
Oh.
How can you tip against
the Broncos? I might put a VC on Reece Walsh, so I've got something to cheer about in the crowd.
Oh, you're gonna head down?
I'm heading there with one of my fans.
Oh, love that. Yeah, hopefully Reece Walsh turns it up for you. Hopefully he shits the bed for me. the Titans and do the Titans have the whitest halfback combo this week with Tanner Boyd and Toby Sexton?
Yeah, well, that's it. They're probably the ugliest halves. sorry, lads. I'm no look at myself. Look, this one's a tough one because the Dragons, I reckon, at times have looked really good. And at other times, they've looked like dog shit. I guess you could say the same about the Titans, couldn't you? I'm going to tip the Titans at home.
It is a 4 o'clock game, so hopefully the boys do get a 10.
Brimson out and four and a two big outs.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to tip the Gold Coast Titans.
Absolutely. We have the Knights up against the Warriors. This one might be a pretty good game. I'm going to take.
Yeah, it'd be good. Both done pretty well. I mean, the Warriors done exceptionally well.
Let's go on Warriors will be my tip. I expect you to be the same.
I'm going to tip the Knights.
Oh, so we've got something different. We've got something different at least.
I reckon the Knights have been stoic. It's going to be a big full crowd in there. Look, Gamble is actually a big loss to them because he's really complimented.
Gamble's been really well. Really good.
Yeah, he has been really good. So that's a big out. Weirdly, I never thought I would say Tyson Gamble's a big out. But I want to tip them. I reckon Lachie Miller has been sensational for them out the back.
If you're gonna VC Reece Walsh, do you think I should VC Lachie Miller if I decide to go to the game?
Well, if you go,
you have to. Surely, you have to.
Of course, you can. Look, I reckon they've really improved the Warriors. They're very stoic. I think both of these teams have shown a little bit of backbone this year, so it could be a real arm wrestle. But I still feel like there'll be lots of points in it too, as well. But I just reckon the game might go to and fro. I just reckon. The Knights at home, I think they're starting to get a bit of confidence, and a big crowd there might just get them over the line.
And some other teams have gone back and fro. One of these sides have been really, really hard done by with their record, I feel. Easter Monday footy, the Tigers up against the Parramatta Eels. This one isn't a case of who wins. It's a case of how much the Parramatta win by.
Yeah, well, the poor old Raiders and the Tigers, our teams, the bottom two teams on the ladder, are going to get fucking rolled this week. I'm sorry to say.
Hang on. Did the Broncos? I need to quickly check this. Did the Broncos put 50 on the Tigers last week? They didn't. Tigers are still in with the premiership race, and the Raiders aren't. So that's something to cheer on.
Oh yeah, well that's it. I do
wonder with his on field performances last week, if Justin Pascoe does decide to name himself. After his efforts on the field last week. Will be interesting to see. But no, look, I hate the fact that we have to wait until 4 o'clock on Monday for our fucking captain to play.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully all the other popular captains shit the bed.
Yeah, look, I'll be much, if Cleary goes off for like 110 and Walsh goes off for like 100, like the pressure's on Dilbeck. If they go like 65, 70 points, you can watch the game much more comfortable because if he gets 50, it's like, okay, look, cool, we lost on 15 points. So yeah, watching our captain at to be fair, the last time I did captain a late game was Nico Hines, and that's went okay. Went okay.
Well, didn't it? Yeah. All right. Well, I think we're both tip of the eels.
We have five straight days of footy this week, my friend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait to. Oh, that means lockout's not going to be lifted until probably Monday night.
Yeah.
Which is not fun.
Straight into TLT.
Absolutely. Well, you've been listening to the Dual Position Podcast Round 6 Preview. I have been the SC Whisperer, coach of the Ramsey Rehabs, joined as always by SC Adrianosaurus, coach of the
Republic. Sorry, I was a lot more sober tonight. I'm drinking the old zero alcohol.
Ah, fun. Hey, did you see that the Raiders are looking to clean house and Jordan Rapana is going to be one of them?
Yeah, I'll have to find a new team name. Absolutely. You know what? The Schneider. Schneider.
We've got a preseason to work on it, my friend. We've got a preseason to work on it.
It's got to be about Tuppany or something. He's our only good player now.
Lovely. I think Pain in My Heart is a pretty original name, man. If you want to, I don't think I've seen that one before, so no, jump on.
Seen that one ever.
Four and 20 pies. That's another one. Hey, in the comments below, leave your favorite Supercoach team name over the years. I've been the SC Whisperer. You've been joined, as always, by SC Adrianosaurus, Dual Position Podcast. We'll see you same time next week.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.